It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. We're studying the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading with the 8th verse, Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. So please that you will open your Bibles and follow along with us today. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Glad that now you have taken a few minutes, and hopefully you have enough time to enjoy the study today and to really sit down and listen and study with us as we do this wonderful program. It's just a joy to study God's Word, and anytime we come together, it's a wonderful time, and this is just the same. I'm glad you've joined us today. Genesis chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwelt in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. To Cain shall be... If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's begin with prayer after we've read the Word. Father, I thank and praise you that we can enjoy your precious Word. Help us to glean from it, to learn from it, and we can only do that by your Spirit. We can only learn from you if we know you as our Savior. We have invited you into our heart and trusted in you today. Please, Lord, that you will help us to come to you You will take your Spirit and convict the hearts today as we proclaim your word and bring them to you. And Father, also, you will take us that are saved and you will work a work in our heart and in our life to grow us closer to you. Thank you, Father, for the day that you've given us, and thank you for your precious word that's before us. Now please, Lord, guide and lead us today as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed the study. I'm going to read just once again because we're going to begin in the a little later here in the chapter. But I want to read once again as we started in verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the ground, from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. The fugitive, a vagabond, shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Now, as we've read through these verses of Scripture, we enjoy seeing and learning from God's Word. And we find that the Lord in the 8th and 9th and 10th verse there, even with the crime that Cain has committed, he still calls for Cain to repent. He desires for him to come back and to return. And yet we find that Cain did not admit at all to his sin. He was more concerned about his punishment, as we look in the 13th verse. But we find that God called him, and I don't want you to miss this. And he says, Where is Abel, thy brother? Well, the Lord knew exactly where Abel was at. He knew that he had been put to death by his brother Cain. But he come to Cain and asked such a question because he wanted him to repent. Now, please, that you do the same. Quit ignoring the call of God and come to the Lord Jesus Christ today with a repentant heart. Turn unto him, asking him to come into your life, into your heart, and save you, and your sins will be forgiven, you'll be set free, and you'll begin a wonderful walk, a time of service of the Lord for the very first time. Maybe you've worked very hard in your church and been very serious about service to the Lord, but until you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, it's of no good. It's a waste. So please, that you look to the Word of God now and listen carefully, because God calls Cain even with the sin that he's committed, the commitment of murder. And we talked last time we were together that the one that he murdered was a believer. He was one that you would think that, hey, God would protect Abel, and yet we know that Abel, he brought the proper sacrifice. God had respect upon Abel's sacrifice. Upon Cain's sacrifice, he did not have the proper, he did not bring the proper sacrifice, and so God did not have respect for it. Made Cain mad, and he turned against his brother. And it's something how that when we choose to do something wrong and it doesn't work out for us, we get mad. Now, we need to set our eyes and our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ and do what he wants us to do. And when we do miss him and do something that's wrong and we get chastised for it, don't turn back to God and blame God for it, because it was our fault as we have left the Lord and walked away from him. Here, God calls Cain back. He wants him to come. Where is thy brother, Abel, thy brother? And he says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's the condition of most of the world today. You know, I don't care. I don't know, and I don't care. He did know, but he didn't care, because his heart was so cold. And we find now, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And we look through several verses of Scripture to see that God is accounting for every drop of blood. And we read in Matthew 23, verses 34 and 35, and we read back in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And I hope that you were with us last time we were together, and I hope that you enjoyed that. And now as we get to verse 12, and now when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond, shalt thou be in the earth. Now, I want to I notice here in between the 12th and the 13th verse, and I'll read 13 for you. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is greater than I can bear. We looked back at Deuteronomy 28:15 and some following verses to that, and I would like to do the same this time in a little bit of a review from last time, because it's important that we see that we need to follow after the Lord's will, not after a church direction necessarily, but after the Lord's will and way, and hopefully the church is going in such a way. But if they are not, then we need to turn our ways and turn them unto the Lord. Now, Deuteronomy 28, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So if you started in the front of your Bible, well, it didn't take long to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to begin reading with the 15th verse. And if you'll notice, there's 68 verses in that chapter. So there's a lot of verses to deal with here. And we're not going to read all of them, but I would like to get so that you can understand what it's saying. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, you look at the list that's here in the continuing in this chapter, and I'm just going to touch on a few. We read some of them last time. I'm going to just follow through with a few this time. If you choose not to follow the commands of God, you're choosing not to follow after God's will. Cain chose not to follow after God's will. Here's what comes, verse 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And it just continues to go. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. It just continues. Now, let's go back to the 15th verse of Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes. Now, why do you want to listen to some church doctrine or some teaching or some man's words and ignore the Word of God? And I ask you that you follow after the Word of God and listen very, very carefully, because that's what will set you free, and you can enjoy the walk and the life that the Lord really has for you, and only then if you choose to follow after him. Up until that time, my friend, you're going to have no peace and no joy. I would like to look up Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter, go at the other end of the Bible. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why did God not take him out? We can only go to this verse of Scripture. That's why God left him, so that there would be time for Cain to return. Otherwise, he could have, with the crime that Cain committed, you would think that God would have struck him down dead, and he would have been the first to enter into the place of torment. Instead of that, why, God with his patience desires that all of us turn to him. But his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I hope that you hear those words today, and I hope that you come today. We find in the 13th verse here that he begins to say, my punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is unjust, is what he's actually saying. Cain says nothing about his sin. Look at that. He says nothing about, Lord, I am sorry for my sin. I should not have done it. It was in a time of rage, and I'm sorry. Instead of that, he mentions nothing about the sin, but he feels like the punishment is too great. And, you know, that's the way we do when we get in our self-righteous attitude. We think that things around us are all falling down and everything's a mess. And instead of that, we need to look to see that the punishment that we receive is a very adequate punishment. But our sin is what we need to turn from and repent from. Cain says much more about his punishment. I don't deserve this. And he's arguing about the penalty that comes with it. Again, remember what we said back in Deuteronomy 28:15. You know, do you think the punishment is greater than the sin? No, it's not. He tells us to follow after him. He tells us to do his will and way, and he will bless us. And when we refuse to do that, don't expect anything but the curse of God upon you. And that's exactly what the scripture was saying there. He feels like, according to the 13th verse, his punishment is unjust. It's too much. He can't take it. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3, and you'll find Jeremiah, and then you'll see Lamentations. Or if you do like I do most of the time, you go from Jeremiah to Ezekiel. Lamentations is stuck right in the middle of those two books, and I can find Jeremiah easily. I can find Ezekiel easily. But Lamentations is something that's kind of hidden. And so Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 39, and we're going to read down through verse 41. Lamentations verse 39, "Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." I'm going to read that again for you so that you can find it. Maybe you're just turning to it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 39. "Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands upon God, unto God in the heavens." Please, that you turn from that. And what means do you have to complain about the punishment that you have gotten? We have none, but we seem to find much time to do that, to complain. We spend more time in complaining and believing we don't deserve such a certain punishment, a punishment of some kind. We forget that we're not in hell. We should be in hell. So what's with the punishment that we're so concerned about? Verse 14, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." Look at that. He's scared to death for his own neck, isn't he? Well, he should have thought of that before he decided not to bring the right offering and sacrifice unto the Lord. But we see nothing of a repentant heart. All we see continually, all we see is him complaining and whining about the conditions. You know, take a look, my friend. We deserve hell. We ought to be in hell. And so when we look at that, then all of a sudden some of the things around us maybe aren't quite as bad as what we thought they were. And we do. We think that everything is so terrible. And we deserve so much. We deserve nothing. And if we realize that, and as I read a scripture recently that spoke of something we should know and realize and ask the Lord to show us, and David is the one that asked it in the Psalms, "Show me how frail I am." And we need to see that, because not to break us down and beat us down, but so that we will turn to him and stop trying to do everything ourselves and begin to walk each day in service to the Lord, depending upon him, watching his way and will for our lives. You know, Cain sees himself as one without hope. Well, you could say to him, you should have thought of that before. He chose to take the path of the world. The path of the world has no hope. I want you to see that. The path of the world has no hope. The only hope that exists is when we turn our hearts and our lives unto the Lord Jesus, and only then is there any hope. Now we find here Cain is without hope. He finds nothing. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that finds me shall slay me. Deservedly so, for what he has done in his life, Cain sees himself totally taken from God. No place safe, whether from man or beast. He finds himself on the run, and he finds himself thinking he's going to be put to death by everybody or every animal that exists. It's unconfessed guilt. Let's look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. If you still are at Lamentations, you know that I always have a couple Bibles here, so I can keep it in Genesis and then go to these other books of the Scripture so we can enjoy them. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Look what happens when you take the way of the world. You're scared to death all the time. You think somebody's after you all the time. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. There's nobody's hunting you down, but you don't know it. You're scared. That's one that has no hope because you can't turn for some reason. You refuse to repent and turn unto the Lord Jesus. What did the Lord want Cain to do? Where is thy brother? Where is Abel thy brother? And what was his response? Oh, if it would just have been, I have killed my brother. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me. Instead of that, he says, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? A prideful, arrogant statement from a prideful, arrogant man that chose to do it his own way in the above verses where we spoke of what he brought unto the Lord and what Abel brought unto the Lord. Psalms 53:5. Go back in your Bible towards the front. Psalms 53, Psalms 53, 5, Psalms 53, verse 5. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Look at the condition of the heart there. That's verse 3, verse 4 and 5 now. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. They had great fear where there was no fear. Great fear where there was no fear. Look at the third verse that we read first of all. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's the condition of man. Please that you come to Jesus today. Let's go to Job chapter 15. Just continue to go back towards the beginning of your Bible because the book of Job is right before Psalms. Job chapter 15, and we're going to look at the 20th verse. Job chapter 15, verse 20. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days. Look what hope the wicked, the one that chose not to do it God's way. Look at the consequences. He says, let them slay me. Cain was bitter. He tells us here in this 14th verse, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid. and I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond on the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And some think that he prefers that. Just go ahead and hunt me down and kill me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slay Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Seems like a strange protection to a killer, to a murderer, isn't it? One that chose to go against God, and yet God is putting his hand, his mark upon him, that no one would be able to kill him until that his time was finished and he would die of natural causes, it seems as though. And the Lord said unto him, verse 15, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on him. You know, even a condemned man is kept from the public. You know, if the public is outraged for something that this man has done, we find that our laws and our court system will place him in protection. It's in prison, but it protects him from someone else and someone taking the law into their own hands. Here, the Lord will get his time with Cain, but it must be the Lord's doing. He is the judge. The Lord is the judge. And no one is to take that away from him. And here he has placed a mark, a place of protection upon him, so that he will be safe as far as as far as death is concerned. And Cain went out now from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. You know, this condemned man has God's protection, as the law protects a condemned man, and he is placed in prison. Well, we find that Cain, you say, well, he's not in prison, he's out free, he's going to build a city here before long. You're going to call it after his first son's name, Enoch. Well, Cain isn't free at all. Cain has such a burden that he is carrying continually, a curse, you could call it, because of what he has done. And he refuses to turn back unto the Lord. What a sad statement. We'll live apart from God. Look at that 16th verse. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. I will live apart from God. No blessings, no privileges. He is left, never to come back. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1:9. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then you'll get to 1 Thessalonians. I keep getting to 1 Timothy here too quickly. There's 2 Thessalonians. There's 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, it is 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? Look at that. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Look at what's going to happen to those folks that reject Jesus Christ. Please that you don't be one of those today. Will you please come to the cross of Calvary and look unto the Lord Jesus, that you can be saved today? It is so, so important that you don't miss the cross. You cannot come unless the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. Now please, is the Holy Spirit convicting you today of your sin? Is the Holy Spirit showing you the saving power of Jesus Christ? Then I ask that you come. Please come. We've read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, Deuteronomy 28, 15, Lamentations 3, 39 through 41, Proverbs 28, 1, Psalms 53, 5, Job 15, 20. What a wonderful day we've had, and I know I went through those very quickly. We're just about out of time. My dear friend, it's wonderful to study God's Word. Now, what are you going to do about Jesus?